And we thank you so much for being with us. I am Damian Barling. No Jason Ross today. He is on vacation. He will be back with us next week. Thank you so much to all the texts that have been pouring in here, keeping me company throughout the day. 44-1140. If you want to get in on the phone lines here for this final hour, you're more than welcome to 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. Mentioned LeVar Ball yesterday. Called him a phony, a fake, a sissy, a stan, which is a line from a Nas diss track. He actually got what he wanted today, which is a response from Michael Jordan. We'll have that for you here coming up at about 12:45. 12:30, I mentioned this earlier when we were talking NBA. Daryl Morey's level of bitterness right now is absolutely incredible. If you don't think that that MVP award meant something to the Houston Rockets and meant something to James Harden, that MVP award that they didn't get, that MVP award that it turns out they weren't even close to getting, oh, Daryl Morey is bitter. 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 We'll explain that at 2:30. Talking NFL there a few minutes ago. By the way, great conversations today regarding the potential conversation that the NFL and the NFLPA are going to have regarding medical marijuana. I know you heard Chris Verlod just report that story at the top of the hour. If you missed any part of today's show, if you missed any part of that conversation, and we got some tremendous calls and some tremendous text regarding that topic that we were able to share with you, you can subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes or whatever your favorite podcast platform is. You can catch up not only on today's show, but if you weren't able to catch what we did yesterday from 3 to 7, I strongly encourage you. In fact, I don't even encourage you. I ask you to take a few minutes out of your day and listen to the first hour of yesterday's show. And if you don't have an hour, just listen to the first 22 minutes. Just take a listen to that and let me know what you think. Again, that was yesterday at 3 o'clock. But subscribe, get caught up on everything, have every single episode delivered upon completion right to your phone. Also, you can like us on Facebook. Search out The Lowdown on Facebook. You'll find us. Also, be sure to like Sports 1140 while you're there. You get all of your news right there on your Facebook feed. Lots of stuff coming in on Twitter here. Might as well hit Twitter while we're talking about social media. At Damian Barling. Appreciate all the messages that have come in there as well. As I mentioned, talked a lot of NFL there just a few moments ago, whether it's fights in training camp, like what went on with the New England Patriots, the situation the Chargers have. Got a great text here a few minutes ago. Not sure why it's a surprise with that Chargers story. The organization has been screwing over their fans and players for years now. That's a fact, and I understand that that's something that we probably should have put out there as we were reading the story about Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates. Is the Chargers aren't known for being the most player-friendly organization or fan-friendly or really anything friendly. They've never been known as that, which I guess is another reason why I think Anthony Lynn's stance, assuming this is solely Anthony Lynn's stance, and I have to imagine it is, of not letting Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates go to Canton on Saturday to pay respect to LaDainian Tomlinson, I think it's a bad look. I think it's a bad look for you as a coach, and I think it's a particularly bad look for an organization that is about all out of bad looks. Now, I said a few minutes ago, I completely understand the other side in that you're having a scrimmage at StubHub, you're inviting fans, which is their new stadium or their MLS stadium that they're playing in, and you're inviting fans to come out and watch your practice. I mean, are you worried your fans aren't going to come if Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates aren't there? I mean, it's free, right? You're letting them in to watch a free scrimmage. I mean, fans are going to come. It's football. Are they coming only to see Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates? If that's the case, then you got a whole lot more problems. Because if fans are only going to come to a free event to see Antonio Gates and Philip Rivers, who's going to pay to watch you? This is going to be a difficult market for you. If you're the Chargers, it's going to be a difficult market for you. You're a year behind the Rams. You should be better than the Rams are this year. The fact is, the Dodgers are hot right now. They're going to be the talk of the town. The Lakers got Lonzo Ball. They're the talk of the town. Yeah. Chargers, Rams, where do they? The Clippers. The Clippers probably rank. USC and UCLA may very well rank above the Chargers and Rams heading into this season. I mean, the top two quarterbacks in this upcoming draft class, USC and UCLA, right? They're going to be a focal point this season. By the way, college football is, what, 33 days away from kicking off? We're going to talk some college football tomorrow because I just took a look at the opening weekend's schedule or the opening week schedule on September 2nd. It is loaded. There are some fantastic games that first week of college football. But we'll get in that tomorrow. We'll stay with our focus here on the NFL with camps underway, with all teams in pads, with everybody's practicing. I kind of posed the question to myself as I was thinking about today's show and kind of digesting all of this NFL news and thinking about some things we talked about yesterday. When you look at the landscape of the NFL, what teams and players are under the most pressure? There's a number of directions you could go with that. Certainly, if you said that the Raiders are under pressure, I would absolutely believe you. I think after talking to a number of NFL writers over the course of the last week, I think I'm on an island with the Raiders. Let me rephrase that. I think I'm on an island with Raiders fans. Right? I really like them heading into this year. And I know everyone's last image of them is, well, they lost Derek Carr. They were terrible in Week 17, and they were awful against a, you know, relatively bad Houston Texans team. I still like them. I like the addition of Beast Mode. I like another year under Jack Del Rio, and I'm operating under the assumption that Derek Carr is going to play 17 games, including the playoffs. Derek Carr goes out. Yep, my opinion changes. If we're looking at half a season with Connor Cook, nah, it's not going to happen. But with the team as constructed, operating under the thought they're healthy, yeah, I like them a lot this year. Are they under pressure to be better this year? Because remember, that division is a question mark. People think that division, that AFC West division, may still be very good. What do you expect from the Chiefs this year? Honestly, if the Chiefs were 12-4, or 11-5, would you be surprised? But if the Chiefs were 6-10, would you be surprised? See, me, I wouldn't be surprised either way. In fact, you could say the same thing. You could say the same thing about the Denver Broncos. If the Denver Broncos were 10-6 or 6-10, would you be surprised? No, I wouldn't be surprised either way. If they were 10-6, it means they figured out their quarterback situation. If they were 6-10, it probably means they didn't. Or their defense wasn't as good as we thought it was going to be. Because that's what we're doing again with this team, right? That's what we're doing again with the Denver Broncos is we're putting it all on the defense. We're expecting the defense to ride it out once again. All right. Who's left? Well, the Chargers. Chargers were 5-11 last year. All right, now you can't put all of the blame on them because they were decimated by injury, a term that is used far too often. They were very literally destroyed by injuries. Week after, whether it was Danny Wood, week after week after week, we heard about a different injury. By the way, haven't we already heard an injury problem with the San Diego Chargers this year? Was it Mike Williams? Isn't that their first-round draft pick? Like, they're holding him out all of camp because he has a back injury? So we're banking on his back being better by week one. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of them because I certainly don't want to think about them being destroyed by injuries for a second year in a row. Because we talked about the universal respect that Phillip Rivers seems to have across the league and Antonio Gates seems to have across the league. And a number of people that we've talked to here on the Lowdown, a number of people we've talked to when we filled in the afternoon has the Chargers. Oh, you know what? Watch the Chargers in the AFC West. Watch them as big competition for the Oakland Raiders. Oh, watch the Denver Broncos as big competition for the Oakland Raiders. You know, of course, assuming they figure out their quarterback position. Everyone is kind of discounting the Raiders. Well, we saw what they can do. Did they peak last year. They were 12-4. How are you going to beat 12-4? Well, I'll stick with the argument that we've been making. You don't have to beat 12-4. They could be 10-6 and be better than they were last year. No, the record isn't as good. But look at some of the games that they won last year. They fell into some wins. Even Raider fans will admit that. They fell into some wins. Nothing wrong with that. A win is a win. But with Derek Carr as a starting quarterback, they only lost 3 games last year. I don't believe that they're going to be worse than that at all. Do I think they're going to be 12-4? Do I think they're going to be 13-3? No. Mm-mm. I don't. But I think they're going to be very good. And I like them. I like them to win that division. And no matter what direction, the only thing in the AFC West that would surprise me is if the Raiders were bad. It's the only thing that would surprise me. Any of the other teams, whether it's the Broncos, whether it's the Chargers, no matter who it is, it wouldn't surprise me. Because I think that's just such a, it's such a strange division that's kind of in a strange spot. Like, Alex Smith is getting older. The Chiefs are getting older. The Chiefs have hit the Andy Reid plateau, right? They're really good. They're good for 10 wins. They're good for 11 wins. And then they're good for getting eliminated in the playoffs. That's Andy Reid's MO. That's what happens. So I think the Raiders do hold a certain amount of pressure. Because, again, they were 12-4. They looked really good. Kansas City was 12-4 last year. Conversations all year that is the toughest division in all of football. Is Andrew Luck under pressure this year? I think that he is. I think Andrew Luck is under a lot of pressure. Because Andrew Luck is the guy who replaced Peyton Manning. Andrew Luck is the guy who was brought into the league as the next Peyton Manning. And Andrew Luck has been a very good quarterback. Very good. And I had a debate with Jason Ross 2 weeks ago. I don't know that he's been great. I don't. And we so closely associate the term bust with players who come out and they're just awful. Right? They don't. Jamarcus Russell is a bust. Right? That's the term that we use with him. Now, regardless of what you thought about Jamarcus Russell, he had, obviously he was taken number one overall, which you could debate even then whether that was the right call or not. But fine, he was taken number one overall. Freakish athlete. The what was the line they kept saying all year? He could throw from his knees 60 yards. Like, why? Like, what value is that in the NFL? Like, because once your knees are down, like, you can't throw the ball anymore. So what is the point in constantly reciting that? Oh, he's just so powerful and strong. Okay, good. How did that work out? No quarterback, no player, I would argue, has ever come into the NFL with the expectations, at least in recent memory, that Andrew Luck had. So if I pose the question to you right now, has Andrew Luck lived up? Think back now. Think back to that year. Think back to the Colts being bad. Think back to the decision that Jim Irsay made to release Peyton Manning. Think about all of that. Think about everything that was said about that quarterback at Stanford. And tell me, has Andrew Luck lived up to those expectations? I'd say no, he hasn't. Again, been very good. I don't think he's lived up to those expectations. Is there pressure on Andrew Luck? Colts were bad last year. Well, they were 8-8. But that's not good. Didn't make the playoffs. Titans had a better record than they did. Houston had a better record than they did. You talk about division. What is that division? What is the AFC South? What are you going to do with the – pick a winner. If text the winner to me right now to the AFC South, I guarantee you we'll probably get everyone but Jacksonville. I don't think anyone is jumping on that Jacksonville train again. Because remember, we thought Jacksonville was going to be good last year. A lot of us thought Jacksonville was going to be good last year. So I ask you now, text 44-11-40. Who's going to win the AFC South? The Texans, again? The Titans, the Colts? I guarantee you it'll be split. I don't even know if anyone will say the Colts. I rode that Colts train so hard last year because I thought Andrew Luck was going to snap out of it. I'd say week after week after week we would sit here and talk. sit here and talk. No, they're going to bounce back. No, Andrew Luck will lead them out of it. No, they'll be fine. I'm going Colts. Week after week, we make our picks. Nah, I got to believe this is going to be the week, Colts. I think I did that all the way till like week 13. Absolute idiot. I wouldn't leave it alone. I can't ride that train again. The Titans are the sexy team this year. Oh, they're good. Marcus Mariota, another year. DeMarco. Big train Derrick Henry. Okay. You ready to roll with that? You ready to bet on the Titans? Again, they were 9-7 last year. Same record as the Houston Texans were. Taking a quick glance at the text line, and it's split. Texans, Titans, Texans, Colts, Colts all day. Those are the first couple of texts that are rolled in right there. Split across. Everyone will go with either of those three teams. It'll just be split with those three teams, leaving out the Jaguars. I think there's pressure on Andrew Luck this year. He has to be great. Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons are another team that I think there's a lot of pressure on. Now, generally, a team that loses the Super Bowl doesn't have that level of there's not that level of pressure on them. You're curious, but it's not pressure. You'll watch them, but it's not pressure. But the way the Falcons lost is what's going to get attention. The way that the Falcons blew that Super Bowl lead to the New England Patriots is what's going to put the pressure on the defending. By the way, how many of you forgot this? The defending NFL MVP, Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Hawks. 11-5 last year. Kind of snuck up on everybody. We watched that division because Carolina's in it. Drew Brees is in it. Tampa Bay was a team we were all curious about. Again, they're Hard Knocks this year, right? So we're going to watch Tampa Bay a little bit closer as football fans because we're going to watch Hard Knocks. We're going to be a little bit more invested into the Bucs this year than we were last year. They finished 9-7, but again, the Falcons 11-5. No one really paid attention to them until late in the season. They won 4 to end the season, in which you started to hear, oh, yeah, Matt Ryan's in the conversation for MVP. Then they went again. You know, there's a good chance Matt Ryan's going to be the MVP. I think, not positive. Then you get into those final, oh, no, Matt Ryan's the MVP. You get down that final stretch. No, Matt Ryan's the guy. And there were some people who still wanted to believe it because they just didn't pay attention to him. Text here at 44-11-40. Will the Falcons even make the playoffs this year? I got to believe that roster's still really good. Julio Jones is still there. Matt Ryan is still there. Kyle Shanahan isn't. And a lot has been made about play calling, particularly in the Super Bowl. If they had just run the ball, the Falcons would be Super Bowl champions. That's what has been said. Perhaps that's what we try to convince ourselves of. There's no way Captain America would have come back and led the Patriots to a win had the Falcons just run the football, because we're assuming they run the football, they get the first down. Which is going away from what they did all season, which is going away from what made Matt Ryan the MVP in the first place. There's a lot of pressure, probably more pressure on the losing team of the Super Bowl than there has been in recent memory. I mean, maybe the Seahawks. Seahawks probably went through something like this too, right? That fateful call. Why is it always play calling that results in the Patriots winning Super Bowls? We got the play call on the one that didn't go to Marshawn Lynch. We got the play call here where the Atlanta Falcons didn't run the ball, didn't run the clock out. It's always play calling. It's never the Patriots. It's never how good the Patriots are. It's the play calling from the other team that gives the Patriots the Super Bowl. And while there's conversation, while there's been articles written and there's been dialogue had about a potential 19-0 season for the New England Patriots as the defending Super Bowl champions and a 40-year-old quarterback, a 14-2 record. Who remembers that? 14-2. There isn't a drop of pressure on that team. None. because they're that good. They sneak into the playoffs. They're the favorite. They sneak into the playoffs and run the table as a sixth seed. No one's shocked. You're shocked that they snuck into the playoffs and didn't handily win the division, sure. But you're not shocked if they sneak in as a 8-8 wild card and go on to win the Super Bowl. No one's surprised by that. There's no pressure on the New England Patriots whatsoever. What other teams say? I'll throw the 49ers in there. Do the 49ers have pressure on them? They were 2-14 last year. Probably not. Does Kyle Shanahan have a little bit of pressure on him? Maybe, but probably not. I mean, it's his first year as the head coach. He's got a new front office intact, trying to get their footing as well. It's believed that Brian Hoyer is a placeholder for one Kirk Cousins. So let's move on there. How much pressure is Kirk Cousins under this season to perform? To perform for that awful team in Washington. And by awful, they were 8-7-1 last year. By awful, I mean just the way that they were run. They're a disaster. How much pressure is Kirk Cousins under this year? I'd argue none. I'd argue Kirk Cousins could have a terrible year, and Kyle Shanahan will still want to sign him. And the Redskins will have to make the decision next year. Now, this is where a bad season by Kirk Cousins may come into play, because Washington will have to make the decision. What would you be more surprised by right now? Or let me not say right now. Let's say Kirk Cousins has a 5,000-yard season just like he did last year. What would you be more surprised by? Washington letting him walk, or, you know, Washington lets him walk and he signs with San Francisco. Would you be more surprised by that, or would you be more surprised by Washington tagging him for the third straight year and paying him close to $35 million? Both seem extraordinary. Both seem mind-boggling. When you talk about a quarterback like Kirk Cousins, young quarterback, by the way, drafted the same year RG3 was. Same year Andrew Luck was. When you talk about a quarterback of that age who has consistently been good for you since really being given the keys to the kingdom, right? He traded places with RG3, but it felt like they were trying. Daniel Snyder kept trying. He wanted Robert Griffin III to be the guy. So it was like, okay, Kirk Cousins will go to these games, and then we're putting RG3 back in. Okay, RG3 might be hurt. He's out 2 weeks. We're going to put him back in, though. At one point, they just said, nope, not good. Kirk Cousins moving forward. Since they've done that, he's been all right. He's been better than all right. Ever since he dropped you like that, how you like me now? He's been throwing for 5,000 yards. So what's more surprising in that situation at the end of this upcoming football season? That Washington lets a guy who, let's just say for argument's sake, he does it again, throws for 5,000 yards three consecutive years. Still a young quarterback. You let him walk because you can't get a contract negotiated with him. Because you blew it last year when you probably could have locked him up. When he refused to sign a deal this year because there was really no incentive for him to sign it. You let him walk and he goes and plays with his buddy Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Or he goes and plays with any team. His destination doesn't matter. The fact that he's walking out of Washington is what matters. Is that more surprising, or the potential that next year Kirk Cousins could be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL by a long shot? That when the history books look back and say, okay, there was one quarterback who got the franchise tag twice, it was Kirk Cousins. There is one quarterback in the history of the NFL, in the history of the franchise tag, that's gotten the franchise tag three times. That quarterback was Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins' contract, his dollar value over 3 years, if he's franchised next year, is 3 years, 80 guaranteed million dollars. Tom Brady can't sniff that. Aaron Rodgers can't sniff that. Andrew Luck, Derek Carr, not even close. highest paid quarterback over a 3-year span in NFL history will be Kirk Cousins if he's franchised next year. So what's more surprising? Is Kirk Cousins under any bit of pressure? If he performs, he puts some pressure on Washington because Washington has to make a decision. What are we going to do? Because they have to know right now he's walking. If they have to know he's not re-signing an extension. There is no financial incentive for him to re-sign an extension because if they want to keep him next year, they have to pay him $35 million. What other NFL teams and players are under pressure? We'll wrap up a couple of those. Plus, Daryl Morey's level of bitterness in Houston is incredible when it comes to that MVP trophy. We got that story as we continue here on Sports 1140. Lots of good side conversations going here on the text line, 44-1140. Just got posed the question. Right now, who would you take, Derek Carr or Andrew Luck? Who would you be more confident in moving forward? Derek Carr is younger. You don't want to get too caught up in the moment, though, but if you had to take someone right now, who would it be, Carr or Luck? Some of the questions going on here. A lot of people are big on the Titans to win that AFC division there. Oh, so we kind of touched on the Falcons are split. There's a lot of people here on the text line who don't think the Falcons are making the playoffs. I'm fine with that, but when you have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, I have to think they'll find a way to get in. Even if they're not dominant like they were last year. I mean, 11-5 is a pretty damn good record. If they're not that, I wouldn't be surprised. But them not getting in, I don't know. That's the Super Bowl hangover of all Super Bowl hangovers, and they're coming off some – you know, what the Seahawks did, I tried to equate the two, wondering how much pressure the Seahawks were under coming out of the season in which they threw an interception on the one-yard line. That's one play, right? That's one play that the Seattle Seahawks made a mistake in. The Falcons had an entire half to feel just everything fall apart and slip through their hands. How much does it linger heading into this upcoming season? There's a great Gatorade commercial, right? Matt Ryan's got a great Gatorade spot with Michael Jordan and J.J. Watt and all of those guys, which he says, you know, what fuels you? Defeat. They didn't directly acknowledge the Super Bowl, but it was pretty clear what defeat he was talking about. You know what team we haven't mentioned in terms of pressure? And maybe they're not under it. Maybe they never are because of really just the way that they play. That's the Green Bay Packers. Packers won 6 straight last year. Packers weren't, they were done, right? 4-6. Aaron Rodgers comes out and says, nah, guys need to chill, man. We just went out. Then they actually went out there and won out. Aaron Rodgers had that incredible completion against the Cowboys in that game there, in that playoff game. So I think those are the teams, those are the players under trouble. Is Ben Roethlisberger, is he under any pressure? Does Ben Roethlisberger, you know, he's speculated he's going to go, or I'm sorry, he hasn't speculated. He has said he's going year to year from here out when he's thinking about retirement. We had Frank Schaub of the Yahoo Shutdown Corner on yesterday, and he said, you know, when you start talking about retirement, you very well may have already mentally retired. Is Ben Roethlisberger prepared for the season ahead of them? Le'Veon Bell sitting out of camp. I don't imagine that's going too well. Antonio Brown's there, though. He's here for a full season. Martavis Bryant's there. James Harden's showing up in fire trucks and pushing 2,000 pounds on a sled and having these freakish Instagram workout videos. He's still there. Mike Tomlin is still there. Coaching is everything in the NFL, right? So it sounds like the pressures of that team, again, falls on Ben Roethlisberger, the guy who, now twice, it's one thing I think when you talk about retirement after the season, like immediately after. Your body's fatigued. You probably just lost a playoff game. You're beat, right? You don't want to think about it. So the thought of retirement does come into play. And perhaps Ben was publicly negotiating for a new contract, which he didn't get. But he brought it up again once training camp started. I'm going year to year. I'm not committing, you know, for the other 2 years of my deal. We'll see what happens. Is he starting to check out? What if Joe Flacco doesn't come back? What if Joe Flacco isn't ready week one for the Baltimore Ravens? And you're marching Ryan Mallett out there. By the way, the reports out of NFL, the reports out of Baltimore's training camp, not good. With Ryan Mallett at the helm, not good. Go search him out for yourself. Search out some Baltimore. I'll retweet some of them. You could see them on Twitter. Some of the reports that came out of the media session of the Ravens practice today. Not saying they need to make a move. I'm just saying Ryan Mallett's not their guy. And if they're truly banking on, remember, they are 8-8 with Joe Flacco last year. They weren't a playoff team. They need to be better than that. So you're already entering the year with Joe Flacco having a bad back. His back, no matter what, whether he misses 1 week or six, his back isn't going to be 100% come week one. His back isn't going to be 100% again. So if you're banking on Joe Flacco playing 16 games this year, I wouldn't bet on it. And if you're going to run with Ryan Mallett, you can go ahead and start putting the Baltimore Ravens down at the bottom of that AFC North division. Move along here. Those are the key teams and key players. Oh, one more. The Panthers. Are the Panthers under pressure? Is Cam Newton under pressure? Because they were bad last year. Is Cam Newton a one-hit wonder? Is Cam Newton Rockwell? Somebody's watching me. Is that all we getting out of him? That MVP year? Now, granted, his rookie year was incredible. But 2 years ago, we were talking about Cam Newton potentially being the face of the NFL. We're not having that conversation anymore. He'll get our attention with his crazy wardrobe and his oddly bleached beard. But he's not the face of the NFL. So where is Carolina at? How much pressure is under Carolina? Now they got Christian McCaffrey there, who everyone is raving about. So you got Christian McCaffrey, you got Cam Newton. How much pressure is Ron Rivera under? Now that division suddenly gotten tougher. Right? You don't know where the Saints at. You can kind of, again, the Saints are another one of those teams where if they're 10-6, you're not surprised. If they're 6-10, again, you're not surprised. But that division may be getting tougher with Atlanta there and Tampa Bay appearing to be on the rise. Who's not on the rise and who just can't let go of last season is Daryl Morey, general manager for the Houston Rockets. Daryl Morey is so upset that James Harden did not win the MVP last year that he thinks we should do away with postseason awards. Just get rid of them all together. None. Because, according, again, to Daryl Morey, we no longer value winning. Because the Rockets won eight more games. The Rockets won eight more games than the Oklahoma City Thunder did. And he thinks that that's enough to justify for James Harden being last year's MVP. Quick note, for those who don't remember, the voting wasn't close. We speculated all year, this is going to be the closest MVP vote in history. It's amazing. The first time in a decade, LeBron James probably won't finish in the top three. Is it going to be Kawhi? Is it going to be James Harden? Is it going to be Russell Westbrook and the historic feat he has? Is it going to be James Harden, the tremendous season he has had under Mike D'Antoni? Is it going to be old reliable Kawhi Leonard and the San Antonio Spurs? No, it wasn't close. It was Russ, and it was Russ by a long shot. But Daryl Morey's mad. No more postseason awards. Let's just get rid of them. We don't value winning anymore. That's what he says. Well, if we value winning, are we giving it to the Houston Rockets? Are we giving it to somebody on the Houston Rockets? Are we giving it to James Harden? No. By the way, your coach won Coach of the Year because you made a mess of the organization the year before, and Mike D'Antoni came in and cleaned it up. But you want to do away with the awards because your boy didn't win. And we know your boy's feelings are hurt, so you want to get rid of all postseason awards. Blake Griffin chimed in on Twitter. He's like, yeah, let's get rid of championship rings, too. Who wants those? Participation trophies for everybody. Daryl Morey talks as if the Rockets have won something, and I think that's what I find so funny about this. Like, his feelings are hurt that James Harden didn't win the MVP. All right. Like, cool. Like, don't diminish what Russell Westbrook did, dude. Russell Westbrook did something we haven't seen in five decades. Don't diminish that because James Harden had a good season. James Harden had a very forgettable season. It was good, and it was good while it was happening. You're not going to remember James Harden's season next year. You'll remember Russ's. You'll remember what Russ did. You'll remember what Steph Curry did the 2 years. You may not remember Steph Curry's first year too much, but you're going to sure as hell remember what Steph Curry did that second year he won the MVP. 400 threes, all those crazy shots, that buzzer beater he hit against Oklahoma City, the 73 regular season wins. You're going to remember all of that. You're not going to remember anything about James Harden or Kawhi Leonard. So stop complaining about it. Why are you even talking about this? Shouldn't you be working on getting your boy Carmelo over in a Rockets jersey? Because Carmelo doesn't want to play for anybody except for the Houston Rockets, apparently. He doesn't even want to play with his BFF in Cleveland. Now, there could be several reasons around that. We'll touch on that. By the way, Daryl, talking about Blake Griffin's passive-aggressive tweet at Daryl Morey talking about, let's just get rid of championship rings. Did you hear what Tracy McGrady said about championships in the Hall of Fame? We got that for you as we wrap up the lowdown next. Wrapping things up here on the lowdown, we're mentioning Daryl Morey's remarks about getting rid of postseason awards in the NBA because we don't value winning anymore. Because his Rockets team won 8 more games than Russell Westbrook's Oklahoma City Thunder team did. And while getting Coach of the Year wasn't enough for Daryl Morey, getting Coach of the Year into his organization with Mike D'Antoni, that wasn't enough. He thought James Harden was deserving of the MVP. And that's totally fine that if you feel that way. No one else did because the voting wasn't even close as we thought it would be all year. Blake Griffin got a word of that on social media and then kind of quoted the tweet and wrote, yeah, that's a good point. We should get rid of championship rings also. Just participation trophies for everybody. And it brought to mind what Tracy McGrady said. Tracy McGrady said, well, anybody can win an NBA championship, but not everybody can be a Hall of Famer. You see, the knock on Tracy McGrady is that he didn't win a championship, but he's a Hall of Famer now, or will be. J.R. Smith got wind of that and said, does anybody else think this is ridiculous? That's cool, Tracy. Why don't you run that particular line past Patrick Ewing or Karl Malone? Or John Stockton, or Charles Barkley, or any of those guys that really played in the Michael Jordan era. Run that past any of them. See what they say. Anybody can win a championship. If anybody can win a championship, bruh, you didn't. And he has, and Tracy McGrady has the distinction of having a painful, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Tracy McGrady, like, the last guy on the bench for that Spurs team that lost to Miami on the Ray Allen comeback? Wasn't Tracy McGrady on that team? Because I feel like as the minutes were winding down, and it certainly felt like the Spurs were going to win the championship, I thought there was a conversation about Tracy McGrady winning a ring. And I know he was on the Spurs at some point, but I thought he was on that team, and that's a particularly painful loss. Would that have mattered? Would we have even counted that? Because, you know, we don't count NBA rings the same anymore. We have to determine, okay, wait a minute, whose team is it? And how valuable of a part of that team are you? You know, rings aren't rings in the NBA. We have to break down. Like, even in the NFL now, Peyton Manning's second ring has a yeah, but attached to it. It's not rings. It's like we have to change the question now. It's not how many rings do you have. It's how many meaningful rings do you have. Because we put the yeah, but on Peyton Manning's second ring. Yeah, but he wasn't very good. Yeah, but his defense was phenomenal and is what won them the championship. Okay, so if Tracy McGrady, if he was on that team, if memory serves me correctly, and he was on that team, are we counting that as a ring for Tracy McGrady? Are we constituting that as, yeah, Tracy McGrady got a ring, but he was the 15th guy on the roster? If the Spurs had won that game, McGrady wouldn't have played. Text right here on the text line from my man Brian. Like, Matt Barnes, do we look at Matt Barnes differently? He got a ring. Matt Barnes has always been a fine player that signed minimal contracts, helped out around. Did he help out with the Warriors last year? Is Matt Barnes a yeah, but we don't look at rings the same anymore. But Tracy McGrady says, well, anybody can win a championship. Not everybody can be a Hall of Famer. I know Tracy McGrady was a dynamic scorer, and Tracy McGrady was really, really big, and I'm not trying to diminish him whatsoever, so please, like, hear me out. Tracy McGrady was really big in that era where basketball was kind of, like, in that – it was kind of in a weird spot, right? It was post-Jordan. Kobe was there. Pre-LeBron, like, that's when he was his best. So that was kind of a – it's almost like that brief little period where Allen Iverson is running the league. Right, because we weren't totally enamored with Kobe Bryant yet. I mean, we were, but he was still with Shaq. And, you know, that's one of those yeah, buts. Kobe's got rings, but. Now, it's funny that the narrative has changed. As Kobe's career continued, suddenly it was Shaq had rings, but he was with Kobe Bryant, despite the fact Shaq was dominant on a number of those Lakers teams. So Tracy McGrady's kind of in that weird pocket of the NBA. Is he a legit? I mean, look, obviously he is a legit Hall of Famer. He's going into the Hall of Fame. He's more of a take the bias out of this. Is he more of a Hall of Famer than Chris Webber? Because I thought the two were equal. I totally get Tracy McGrady was a dynamic scorer. Rings aren't a question in that conversation, right? For either one of them. I get Tracy's good, and I respect everything that he did in the league. I thought that remark was a bit silly, and I have to imagine he probably wishes he could take it back. You don't want to throw out something you don't have as if it's meaningless. Well, anybody can get a championship ring. Not everybody can be a Hall of Famer. If that was the case, bro, you'd have one. I hate that Michael Jordan gave LeVar Ball what he wanted today. Speaking at a basketball camp. I'm not going to play the audio for you because the audio sounds like crap. I don't know if it was recorded by a cell phone video or whether it was recorded by. It just doesn't sound good. I'll transcribe it for you. But if you were with us yesterday, I really didn't have much to say about LeVar Ball other than I promised you that every time I would refer to him, I would use that Nas line from Ether. You a fan, a phony, a fake, a sissy, a stan. That's what he is. And he proved that today because he finally got what he wanted. He finally got what he wanted because Michael Jordan responded to him. It was acknowledged, I think, for the first time that Michael Jordan is actually aware of who LeVar Ball is. And the only reason he did that is because he was at, I don't know if he was at a basketball camp or what he was at a high school. It looked like a high school, at least, in which they were doing, you know, some sort of Q&A. And he was asked a question about LeVar Ball. And he said, look, man, I've just ignored that. I'm not going to respond to that guy. I mean, did he play, like, what did he do? What did he play in college? Average 2.2 points a game. So right there, you know that Jordan is aware of it, which LeVar Ball is going to love. He's going to love the fact that Jordan knows how many points he scored per game. And then he hits him with the line, I'm only going to answer because you asked. I'm only going to acknowledge him because you asked. He couldn't beat me if I had one leg. And that's the line that's made the rounds on social media and all the talk shows today. But I wish for everything that Jordan just would have looked at that kid. And I understand that this probably would have made Jordan look a something way. a certain way. But if he had just looked at the kid and said, who? That would have destroyed everything LaVar Ball is. If he had just said, who are you talking about? Oh, Lonzo's dad. Oh, what'd he say? He made it aware that he knows who he is. And that's all LaVar Ball ever wants. You think LaVar Ball is mad that Shaq made a diss track about him? Nope. He's super excited. Because that's what he wants. A fan, a phony, a fake, a sissy, a stan. He wants attention. He's a fan of Shaquille O'Neal. He's a fan of Michael Jordan. He's a fan of every name he brings up. And he's begging for a response from those guys. A byproduct is all the TV shows that have given him the time of day. All those hot take TV shows. They've put him on TV. They've put him on a platform. Or they've given him a platform, I should say. But that's not what he wants. He just wants that platform so he can mention Shaquille O'Neal's name, so he can mention Michael Jordan's name. And now he can say, well, Michael Jordan knows who I am. Wait till the retort that you don't think LaVar Ball is going to say something about what Mike had to say today? Oh, he will. And I guarantee that dude is somewhere in Chino Hills, giddy as hell that Michael Jordan knows who he is, that Michael Jordan knows how many points he scored per game, even if it's only two. He got what he wanted. He got what he wanted from Mike. He got what he wanted from Shaq. And I hate that. I don't care if TV shows, hell, you want those TV shows, you got time to fill. You got 3 hours to fill. You got 2 hours to fill. You got 1 hour to fill, whatever it may be. Sometimes you got to find something. Sometimes the news cycle is thin. I get it. It's tough. I hate that Jordan said something. I hate that Shaq said something. Because I know that's exactly what he wanted. If you missed any part of today's show, you could subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes or whatever your favorite podcast platform. You can go to KHDK.com upon the completion of this show. It'll be right there on the website for you. Of course, you can like us on Facebook as well. I appreciate all the texts and phone calls keeping me company while Jay Ross is on vacation. I will be back here tomorrow at 12. Have a great rest of your day.